Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 129. Nate is your award-winning sound engineer.
Woo woo.
And we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, boys?
I didn't get a replacement, apparently.
I was, you know, pushing for it. Nate said, give him another chance. Hang in there.
Just on the verge.
Yeah.
I figured there'd be something here, like some kind of like a dummy or something. Like instead, you just like,
well, we got you here.
I'm the dummy. Exactly. Oh, I set myself up for that. It's like, I teed myself up really well for that.
No, we're glad you're back.
I'm back.
You know, I listened to that episode and it was sound pretty good.
I agree.
It works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does
it's
work.
It's not the same dynamic.
No.
But
no.
It works. But if we have to do that, it's
it was hilarious a couple times when you were like, Sean, you guys, you still there? You asleep? You know, like, no, I'm here. But I was. It was hard.
Weird.
You don't have that, you know, the nonverbal and all those, you know, the glances that you guys both give me.
And I'm still here. Cough syrup's kicking in.
Hey, everybody. the visual cues.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. No.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even like coming in late on some of the stuff, like, or I was talking over you guys, which is normal. But
I didn't really know.
Pretty status quo.
No, I thought it went well. I thought it was a good episode, mm-hmm. and we know it works. So hey, mm-hmm. but we're glad you're back. Isn't that what we said, Nate? We're going to say.
What was the script?
Hold on. Let me.
We decided to be nice.
We're glad you're back, Sean. Okay.
That sounds genuine, and you know I came back just for the zeros, so you know that's my ulterior motive.
I don't want to say, but Nate was going to say, you know, if he didn't show up again, we're deducting zeros.
Yep. I hear you.
Less zeros on the old payola.
Split them between us.
Yeah.
Split the zeros, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to spend all our money at Greenwood Happy Haunts, right?
Nothing from nothing leaves.
Nothing. Glad you're back, though.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Trust that the family is feeling better, mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah,
back to normal,
yeah.
Back to the non, what was it, stomach stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a cleansing experience, I think that's the best way to put it.
So far, we have not gotten anything in our household except Elijah. Play soccer Monday night, and then they
heat
practiced
stroke.
Yesterday, and when he showed up to his sister's volleyball game, he sat up against the wall, and I was like, what's wrong with him? She's like, he's tired, and he's worn out. So I said, but what's wrong? He goes, the heat got to him last night practicing.
Yeah.
And I said, and he didn't feel good anyway. So this morning, Amy's like, he vomited in the shower. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So I think it just carried over, but he's feeling better. But so far, though, like I said, other than that, we have not gotten anything. You guys have been okay, Nate?
Yeah.
No sickness?
As far as I know.
Good.
He was. What did you say last week? I'm not down with the sickness.
I chuckled at that one.
That was funny, actually.
Well, good.
I have to say with the heat, which it's been ungodly hot, right? Hotter than the devil's underpants, I think we have mentioned
it's
that
pretty
before.
Pretty hot.
Pretty hot. Tomorrow's going to be the hottest, and it's going to get a little bit better, right? Claire had a softball game last night, which they won.
Ooh,
they
good.
Won by one. She hit a triple.
Nice.
Two RBIs, and she got on third, and she was so hot and disoriented. This is not good.
She ran back to second.
She fell off of third and got out, but they were happy because she won the game. You know, their two RBIs, they were up, and then the game was over. So I was like, yay. So,
well, heat stroke doesn't hurt anybody.
Exactly. So I was proud of her, but I was like,
what just happened?
Dear Lord,
for a second.
Are you okay? Right. She's like, I got dizzy, and I fell
off
of third.
That is tough, man.
Right.
Even for kids.
I was proud of her.
I remember playing softball, men's league softball, when I was in my 20s. And I'm like, we'd play and it was 95 degrees. And I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I was like, get me.
No,
I don't care, win
that.
Or lose. Just get me out of here.
Yeah.
Get me back home in air condition. But, Nate, you doing all right, though? How's your week?
It's going okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't complain.
You haven't killed anybody?
That's good. No, not yet.
Not yet.
The week is still young, right?
Still like campers surviving through the heat, so.
Good.
That's good.
It's always good.
Yep.
Yeah, if the air is working, then it's a good it's a good thing.
Oh yeah,
I'll tell you what. I went to, let's see, what was yesterday, Tuesday, I'm sorry, Monday. So we went to Elijah's game, and it was literally a game time. They had moved it back to 7 because his regular game schedule was 5:45. And I didn't think it was that bad, but it was just, you know, you're like, eh, could be a little cooler. But I'm glad they kind of split the teams, you know, the A and B team.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I felt like it got worse because then I went to work, you know, clean afterwards, and I felt like it was like midnight.
It's been hot at night, for sure.
I thought it was worse then, just getting in and out of my car or going in and out of the offices instead of sitting there in the bleachers. I was like,
the heat advisor's been saying until like 12 at night, and it's like, you know that's bad when it goes.
5-6 hours later, I thought it was worse.
That's crazy.
But sometimes, like during the day, you'll have a little breeze, and then at night, the breeze goes away.
Yeah.
So then it just gets stagnant.
Yeah. That's what I felt like Monday night was. I was like, whoa, that was cooler at game time. So, but yeah, we're glad we're all here and glad the creepies are joining us as always. Dad joke of the show time. Dad joke
so
of
excited.
The show. Hey, did you guys hear that they're making new corduroy pillows? Did you hear that?
I have not heard that.
It's making headlines.
Imagine so.
Yeah. Yeah. You buy a corduroy pillow, Nate. You're going to get it's making headlines. Yeah. So there you go. That's the dad joke of the show.
Man.
Like that? That's how we're starting it off.
That's right.
just guns a-blazing. Just no holds barred, okay?
Go right at the jugular, right?
That's right. So moving on from that.
Yes.
Sean, first announcements, please.
I just happen to have the first part of the announcements over here. We come together for this hallowed ground, right, and this valuable time for guy time. We talk about the paranormal. We have fun, right? We talk to the creepies. We get to spend some time. But the most important thing we can do, and we do this every single show, is to make sure that we are building emotional and mental health support group and community. So we want you to get help out there. So you can call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
Well done.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Like a steak?
Like a steak.
Oh, you ruined the steak then.
Well, you know. It was all right. It was a good job.
Got to leave a little moo in it.
A little moo, yeah.
I agree. I'm not a well-done kind of guy either.
It's like in Caddyshack when Rodney Dangerfield sends the food back. He was like, still has the lines where the jockey's hitting it.
Oh, that is good. That's good stuff.
He goes, this is low-grade dog food. And the chef's like, dog food? What?
Fantastic.
Still has the marks where the jockey's hitting it. All right. Thank you. Whoa, man, I about ripped my headphones off. Thank you for that, Sean.
That'll make it interesting.
Shout-outs. Moving on. I know we're moving a little bit quick because we're getting a little bit later start. Shout-outs, anybody? Nate, you got a shout-out?
No.
No? Okay.
Not this week.
Okay. Sean?
I'm going to remain quiet tonight. I'm good.
No shout-out?
No shout-out.
I actually wasn't going to have any, but I'm going to shout-out that my sons started out 1-0 and won their first middle school soccer game.
Nice.
Olivia's team lost tonight, but they're 2-1, and they had won their first four sets. So, you know, Brownsburg was a good – that was the toughest one because the first two teams, they whomped pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention who it is because in case they –
they listen.
Brownsburg beat them tonight, and they were good. And this little number two, I say little, she wasn't little, but man, I'd hate to see her when she's a junior or senior because she has to be a freshman.
Yeah,
pretty darn good. So
Dynamite, is that
what you're saying? No, but that's right, Dynamite. But anyway, shout out to my kids for a good start to their sports year.
Nice.
Yeah, that's about it, though. I don't have any other shout
You know
out.
What? I'm going to say that, too, then. I take mine back. And Harrison started. I know. Harrison started varsity.
Game, right?
Yep. This last Friday, they played Terre Haute South. Oops, I said it. But anyway, and they won. Well, Terre Haute South. Thanks, Terre Haute South. But, so it was it was 13-0, and Plainfield was losing. And then they got some motivation from a particular coach. I won't name any names.
Good.
And, right, they whipped him into shape.
Hey, if it's constructive yelling.
Exactly, right?
You just don't yell just for the
No, it's fine. And then they won 32-13, so.
Because I can talk to my kids in a nice, soft voice, but yet rip them apart, or I can yell and give them good
and
constructive.
Get their attention, right?
But mostly I do both.
But yeah, that's right. So he started off his varsity football career well. He's co-sharing center position, and so he's
good for him.
Very happy, and so yeah. So yeah, all our kids have started, you know, cross country and softball and baseball and all the things. So, but yeah, football seems to be what the boys are enjoying the most right now. So it's cool.
And we're getting lucky. Amy looked at the schedule, and there's only one night that we have to do the split it up. Mm-hmm. So it's like awesome.
William's playing.
Can't complain too much about the scheduling.
William's playing outside linebacker, and I think he's realizing how fun it is to tackle somebody.
Yeah, man.
He got a really good tackle last Saturday, and there's a good. I'll have to show you guys. There's a good picture of him and his buddy, and they just look like they're having a good time. But I sent it to my family, and they were like, "He doesn't look like a killer, like an outside linebacker." I was like,
"It's all right.
He's enjoying it, though. Yeah, it's
showed on the field, man.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good. Well, good for them." All right. So, yeah, that's the shout-outs, special announcements. I'll make these quick. You know, it's coming up. What is it? Less than, I think, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Oh, Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show in Danville, Indiana at the Ellis Park train station. Tickets are on the Eventbrite website or app for $15. Come out and see us. We're going to have Aaron Egnatz of Hauntings Around America and Micah Campbell of Anatolian Press. They're going to be our two special guests.
And we love them.
We do love them. I don't know if they love us, but we love them.
So we'll find out when they get here.
That's right. So, yeah, come out. And, again, you'll be entered into Erin's ticket giveaway for her investigation at the Stark Saloon in Rosedale, Indiana, near Terre Haute. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a lot of creepy stories. Going to have some food and merch and all that fun stuff. So come out. Again, it's Saturday, October 7th, 5 to 9. And it's at the Ellis Park train station, Danville, Indiana. And then we're going to have, and I was just out there this past weekend. Greenwood Happy Haunts is allowing us, crazy wackadoos, to come out and do a on location.
I resemble that remark.
That's right. I know you do. So do I. 11 to 5. And it's in Greenwood, Indiana. By the way, my son went with me this past weekend. Got to meet Corey. Scott was working. So he was putting some weekend work in. So it's going to be an on-location. We're going to be recording some episodes there. So come out and see Scott and Corey at Greenwood Happy Haunts. And, of course, come out and see your boys, Sean, Nate, and myself. Again, 11 to 5 on October 21st. It's on a Saturday. And then our other on-location at the creepy and historical Boone County Jail Distillery. And that is in Lebanon, Indiana. Time to be announced. There will be a tour for anyone that comes out. And again, we're not sure what the time is. And Jackie has been waiting for word on if there's going to be a cost to do the tour. She's waiting for management or ownership to get back with her. So, okay. And then I'm waiting to get back from her to hear from her. So anyway, that is Saturday, November 18th. And if that doesn't work, we have a backup date of the 11th if the 18th doesn't work. So come out and see us at Greenwood Happy Haunts. See us at the Boone County Jail Distillery. And, of course, the live show, Keeping It Creepy 2023. That's it. That's all I got.
I have to say, Elijah looked like he was having fun.
He did. He enjoyed it.
Did you guys have a sign that said, in your face, Nate? I think there was. Was that Corey was holding that? They were like, Nate's like, I noticed that.
I think she said, suck it, Nate.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I did. She got a kick out of it when she listens to the episodes when Nate says, oh, I don't care for
friendly
him.
Feud. Yeah. It's being
she was like, yeah,
slowly.
Yeah. they added some new stuff, too. It's like, man.
Oh, see, Nate's going to have to turn. Really cool he's going to have to come to the dark side.
You know what? I think Elijah's favorite part of it, he loved all the stuff, but he really liked the masks. He was really impressed with all the masks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, they got some cool things. So.
You're going to have to come over
it's
to
that
the.
Actually a strategic not going in there. Because then I'd end up buying a lot of stuff.
Oh, yes. saving your moolah.
I go in there and I'm like, my gosh, I could drop hundreds in a second. Let me just I'll take this. I'll take So, what was funny is he also liked the animatronic props. One of them, he didn't think. I'm trying to think which one it was, but he didn't think it was. I don't know if he didn't think it was plugged in or it was one that
you get too close to it.
Yeah. and scared the crap out of him. Uh-huh. And I wasn't with him, but yeah, he came back. He goes, "Oh my gosh, the whatever it was." Yeah,
jumped
out. Got, yeah. So
they still have that haunted house that that they built. That like a little, it's the miniature haunted. Oh yeah, house. It looks like mm-hmm. a dollhouse, but it's a haunted mm-hmm. house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, they do.
I might need to see. I forget what that, how much that costs.
Yeah. So
it's cool.
Yeah, just all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah. So they're having a like a fair, like a craft thing. This, I think it's this weekend.
Ooh,
coming up. I think I posted on our Facebook. Mm-hmm. I think it's this coming weekend. They're having vendors, people. Yeah, doing anyway. Fire department's going to be there. Mm-hmm. So they've got some
it's
happening
be
stuff.
Hot.
I know.
Is it going to be hot Saturday too?
No, fire department's going to be there.
Oh.
Put the gotcha. Fires out.
I gotcha. Yeah. Probably is still going to be 90 some degrees.
No, I think it's supposed to drop off.
At least the humidity part of it, I think, is going to be reasonable.
Let's they have a football game that. Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's home.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Man. Anyway, that's the announcements. Let's get right to the fun. Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about my pick. So I always like to give credit where credit's due, especially when it's mine.
Do get a like extra twinkle.
You like that?
Yeah.
I get a little giddy over here. Giddier.
Giddier.
Giddier up, giddy. We're going to talk about the movie Paranormal Activity from 2007, yesteryear.
It's weird. 16 years ago.
Isn't that wild?
And I just now watched it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. My boss at work, Tori, he likes all the Paranormal Activities. I don't know if you've seen them all, but he said he thinks it kind of gets a little bit, they probably run out of, you know.
Yeah,
old, getting old. Right. But he was surprised I'd never seen it just because I like all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I have not. So when you chose it, I'm like, I better go see it.
Got to go watch that, yeah.
Yeah.
And you own it, right, Nate?
I own it, and it's probably been since 2007 since I watched it.
I didn't. I heard good stuff, and yeah, Tori was like, no, it's pretty creepy good. You know,
no,
you see it.
Yeah,
no,
I enjoyed it. It's a good movie.
So Amy, I can't think if she had seen it and just hadn't seen it in a while, or she didn't, or hadn't. But we watched it together just on our Friday night, you know, chilling at home. And let's just get right into it. I like it because it actually didn't start off right off the bat to just boom, man, you're in it, right? It builds. Mm-hmm. And Amy, she liked it after it was done. She's like, yeah, I liked it. She thought it was started out slow, and I said, actually, I think that's what they did, because if you're talking about a real haunting, like, I think they made it realistic.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what, of all these stories we talk about, and you hear investigators and demonologists and all this, it's not like it just from the get-go, it tears your family apart, and, you know, and flips your flips your house upside down. It slowly builds, and then it starts to oppress you and mess with you. So I thought the movie did what it's supposed to.
A good job of showing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it was 2007. I met Jenna in 05. We got married in 06. We had Harrison in 07. So, I mean, it feels like a blink of an eye. And I remember when this came out in theaters, I did not see this in theaters. I kind of wish I had. Okay. But I remember test audiences were like scared to death, and they were showing like, oh, this is what you're going to experience. And, you know, I it would have been interesting to see what it would have been like in an actual theater. But watching it now, it's funny because I was Harrison had seen it, and he watched it with a friend of his, and I didn't know he had seen it. And we were talking about it, and I was like, yeah, I remember when I saw this like scared the crap out of me. And he's like, Dad, it's not even that scary, you know. And I was like, well, have you seen it? And he's like, yeah, we watched it. And, you know,
yeah, that's
it's
what
not that big
say.
Of a deal. But I'm like, dude, can you imagine, though, if this really happened? I mean, I know it's very Blair Witch Project kind of feeling, you know, that just that, like, underlying and undertone. Very, like, 2000-ish, too. You get that feel that era.
Sure.
But it's not that long ago. But it is – I thought it was well done, too. I don't think it's hokey or, you know,
no, I
contrived.
Don't at all.
The scary thing is putting yourself in that position. Like, you're in bed sleeping, and all this stuff is happening
and you don't really
knowledge.
I know.
You know? That's the creepy part.
Right. Yeah, I say it again. I think they did it the right way, where they just – it just built. Just as the movie kept going on, then stuff started happening. They start realizing it. They're trying to – and it's just messing with them, and they're slowly feeling – you know, they're starting to take it out on each other and get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guy, the husband – but they were married, right?
He's boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or fiance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The guy. He you know, he's kind of not a goofball, but he's kind of doesn't really intend to scare him. He's kind of, oh, you know, whatever, big deal. And she's, you know, she's a little bit more taking it serious, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of, yeah, and then he's kind of, you know, whatever. It's not that big a deal. But then starts, yeah, things start happening where he's like, uh-oh. he starts getting a little bit more, mm-hmm. taking it serious.
Yeah.
You know. I did like it. Yeah, it's and I will say I've not seen, it wasn't that, what, a couple of months ago I watched it, but I have not seen any of the other ones. So
you haven't seen, yeah.
I'm anxious to see kind of the second, third one. And I think that's what Tori said about the fourth or fifth. He said.
Kind of drops off.
Kind of drops off. But, yeah, so it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good pick.
I think the it's interesting, like kind of the backdrop of it. Paranormal Activity is a 2007 American supernatural horror film. I didn't. Yeah, I know.
Sorry, that was my fault.
No, that's all right. We glazed over that. Yeah. It's a supernatural horror film produced, written, directed, photographed, and edited by Oren Pelly. It centers on a young couple, Katie Featherstone and Micah Slott, who are haunted by a supernatural presence inside their home. They then set up a camera to document what is haunting them, which is actually his idea. The film uses found footage conventions that were mirrored in later films of the series.
Mm. Yeah, it did remind me of the Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Because if you're watching, you're like, oh, man, is this real? You know, or is it real footage? But, yeah, they did the movie, and you know, they did it right.
It was originally developed as an independent feature at film festivals. And the film was shot for $15,000.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah, the production. That's right. The production's cost, and because I think they had to, and then post production was $215,000.
Yeah, because Paramount bought it,
took it, and they cleaned up the actual footage.
Oh yeah, editing. Yeah. It was released October 14th at Screamfest. Ooh. Running time's 86 minutes. Language, of course, English. So Nate, you said $15,000. Post, and Sean said post production $215,000, mm-hmm. at the box office $194.2 million. Not a bad return.
I think they did all right. Yeah,
not a bad return.
Yeah,
it did pretty well for themselves.
Yes, I would agree. And it's the production company is Blumhouse Productions, so they do all the scary stuff. Mm-hmm. So, very well done.
I think a lot. I didn't realize this much. We're talking about some of the stuff that spawned out of it as well, and I don't know that I realized how much stuff has come from it. The film is the first entry in the Paranormal series. A parallel sequel, Paranormal Activity 2, was released in 2010, so it wasn't that long after. The success of the first two films would spawn additional films. The prequel, Paranormal Activity 3, in 2011. Sequel to the second film, Paranormal Activity 4, in 2012. The fifth installment and spinoff, The Marked Ones, which like I said, we're starting to get into where it's like, was released in 2014. And the sixth installment, The Ghost Dimension, was released in 2015. A video game, The Lost Soul, was released in 2017. While a seventh film, Next of Kin, was released in 2021. So they were still making it into COVID. So, yeah, I think they've gotten their money's worth out of all that.
Yeah, I'd say so. So the movie starts, they know something's going on, right?
Right.
And like I said, he's kind of
buys that new camera.
Yeah, and he's kind of like, let's just record it, videotape it, what's going on, and sets it up in the bedroom, mm-hmm. and they're sleeping. And, you know, like I said, she's...
And there's some humor in that, too. You're like, hey, we could do some more things with this camera.
Yeah, like I said, he's just kind of an immature
goofball. He's a goofball, yeah.
I mean, he seems like a good guy, but he's just kind of like, whatever. And then she's like,
and he's skeptical.
Stop. Yeah, and he's like, you know. And then they have a, who is it, Dr. Fredericks. Oh, what's funny is the cast is Mark Fredericks.
The psychic, yeah.
Dr. Fredericks.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, so he comes in. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
the psychic, right?
Yeah, and then he comes in their house, and they're just telling him kind of what's going on. And then he leaves. Or he kind of walks around. I'm trying to remember. Mm-hmm.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, okay, he does walk around.
Because he wants to know where the activity is at and kind of what activity it is. Because he wants to see if it's a haunting or a poltergeist or, you know,
or
a demon.
Or if it's psychological. Well,
yeah.
They're having
but some... Katie claims that she's had an evil presence that's been
since she was a kid.
Child.
That's right. That's right.
So he realizes and figures out pretty quick that this is something that's been following her, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the ages.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Well, the interesting undertone, too, is that the boyfriend / fiance, whatever he is, he keeps making references like, how do we make this happen? Like, let's kind of like get this going. And that the psychic's like, that's not what you want to do. You don't want to provoke this kind of thing. And he keeps begging him and telling him, like, do not bring any, like, no seances, no Ouija boards, nothing like that, because you're just, this is going to open up a realm that you can't control. And it's that's disturbing, you know, and it's like he basically kind of like heed my warning. You know, this is a piece of wisdom I'm trying to give you from experience. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we need to get, you know, and then he brings a board in the house. Like, I'm going to do this, you know, and she's mm-hmm. she's begging, like, because she just feels like part of the experiment, you know, like she didn't ask for any of this, but this is something that's been happening mm-hmm. to her for a while. So,
yes.
But this, yeah, he definitely tells her it's beyond a haunting.
Yeah. The psychic says that she's being haunted by a demon that feeds off negative energy and is intent on tormenting her.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how they show, so when they are asleep and it has the
time lapse.
The mm-hmm. time lapse, it just, you know, and really nothing
and
really
just
does happen.
Well, right, and you're waiting. You're just waiting for like a witch to show up at the door.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, the bed start levitating. Yeah, for the first two or three nights, it doesn't really, and then it starts
like a door moving mm-hmm. and very subtle buildup.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, nothing like, oh my gosh, this is mm-hmm. awful or terrible. And then I think the fiance still just kind of like, oh, come on, whatever. And you know, she's, as things start to happen, you know, I don't think he's still intimidated or scared, but mm-hmm. he's just kind of like, okay, I think he's believing it more. Mm-hmm. But then she's starting to go like, oh my gosh, you know, she's.
It's when it sounds like somebody's
getting to
home.
More.
I think is when it starts getting to him. Like there's somebody in this house.
Do what?
There's when he starts hearing noises downstairs.
Yeah.
Like somebody's
oh, the loud
going up the stairs
yeah,
and banging
thuds
and
yeah, doors slamming,
chandeliers
down. Down there, nothing, or yeah. or maybe like one time I know the chandelier is kind of moving. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful house. I like their house. Yeah, it's that noise stuff that mm-hmm. yeah. And then it just ramps up, and it's like, uh-oh.
Well,
hell breaks loose.
She wants to call, you know, that psychic gives her yeah. the demonologist number, and she wants to call, and he's like, we're not doing that. Like, right. That's not what we're doing. And then when it's time, you know, like, to actually bring him in, and it's a good call to yeah. bring him in, then he's unavailable, and so it's just
oh,
like,
I know. She gets his voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's out of town or something, yeah. or mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly. That's when I think the fiancé starts kind of take a little more serious, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're desperate for help, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't. And then but he finally comes back or does get there, the psychic. He does come back, and then he's like, I'm out of here. I can't help you. And they're like, what? Like, what are you doing? Like, we need your help.
Right.
So they're ticked off at him,
mm-hmm.
and he gets mad at the guy, the fiancé, because he's kind of being a jerk. And so,
yeah,
you
not,
know,
not mature like
not
he
mature,
was the first time, too.
Right. And so I don't blame him, but I'm like, oh, man, it'd be kind of hard. But then he agrees. He's like, I'll help you. But really nothing happened. I mean,
it's kind of like
the help they want.
If you need an exorcist and the priest says, sorry, you know, I can't help, you know, I mean, like you need that help. And you feel so sorry for her because she really does need that attention and that help. And she doesn't know what to do. And she can't. That's why she keeps pleading with her boyfriend to just, you know, she just wants it to stop. I mean, she really just doesn't want to be part of this anymore. But she becomes more and more of this, like almost like scientific experiment or spiritual experiment. Mm-hmm. And it gets very, very strange. Mm-hmm. I think when it gets to him, too, is when she's standing there for, what, 2 hours and just staring at him.
Yeah, over the
yeah.
And that's when it's like, okay, that's
and he has no idea.
Mm-mm. No.
But she didn't either.
Yeah, she's kind of like in a trance.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, if she's just possessed or she's mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, that I think that's kind of the first real creepy.
Yeah.
Other than the sounds, but that was like, oof, that's a little scary. You know, just watching him for about 2 hours, and mm-hmm. she walks around, and I think she walks out of the bedroom one of the times. You know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. She goes.
Oh,
out.
She goes outside. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She goes outside. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and
she doesn't remember that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just lost time.
Sitting like on
her
like a swing or something or a mm-hmm. chair. Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing out there?
That makes me think of that thing or that girl that I saw on the swing. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that I talked about. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, chills.
Yeah. And the noises get louder and they get more consistent. And then you start seeing the the doors open more, mm-hmm. the bedroom door. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny? Speaking of that, my wife would always say when we're watching, she's like, who would just leave the door open when all that stuff's starting to happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we I don't know.
Shut,
we,
lock.
I mean, I think most people sleep with the door closed in your bedroom. Do you guys?
It depends. Sometimes it's closed. Sometimes it's open. I think it varies.
Yeah.
Depends if the kids are still
that
up, we'll shut it.
Okay. That annoyed her so much. She's like, close the door. And I'm like, I get it. We close our door.
I think they wanted to see what was going to happen, though, too.
I,
that's
I
for
think
him.
I was like, but maybe, yeah, that. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, what's it going to. how's it going to help anyway if it's a demon
yeah.
or a ghost or a poltergeist? It's yeah. I mean, it's not going to prevent. It's not like it's a human where you can close the door, lock it, and put a dresser in front of it and make it a little tougher. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's not going to matter whether it's open or not. But I see your point, but I was like, no, I don't think it's going to matter with that type of stuff.
I was trying
going
to
on.
Think, that, like I said, that makes me think of that memory. What was it? It was the night that I was leaving the podcast. That's been within the last, what, year and a half. But it was a cold night, and that I saw that it was, no, it looked like a young teenager or middle teen, you know, like maybe 13, 14, 15-year-old mm-hmm. girl swinging on a swing with her hair in front of her. And it is. That's what makes, now this just makes me think of like somebody being in a trance. Or I'm sure it was somebody that had some kind of a disagreement at home or whatever. But it was like 11:39 because I was getting home late from recording mm-hmm. with you guys. And I had this feeling like maybe I should go over and make sure she's okay. And there was just like, this, like no. this chill went up my spine like, no, I'm not messing with that girl. But now that, oh, man, I've kind of forgotten about that.
Could have been a black-eyed kid.
Ooh, exactly, yeah. right.
Gosh, so, dang it.
That's probably just a
Sean,
girl.
Sean, you should have done that.
She's probably just sleepwalking.
Let us inside, mister.
She did not look like she had enough clothes on. I remember that. And like,
you don't even, oh, my gosh. Seriously.
I'm glad I didn't investigate.
Yeah, so, yeah, that annoyed Amy a lot with the door open.
Yeah, no, I can get that. I understand that.
I was like, oh, you know, whatever. They start getting more irritated with each other.
Yes.
And that's,
yeah,
see,
you
that's,
can see the emotional
yeah.
tension
and
distress.
Getting, you know, they're not sleeping well. They're, even during the day, stuff happens, you know, mm-hmm. and not as much, but it's still, it's they there's certain things happen. But, yeah, they're starting to take it out on each other. They're kind of sleep deprived.
That Ouija board that he brings in, so, which he's told
so
not
tell,
to provoke.
Yeah, so, yeah. So the knucklehead brings in a Ouija board, and she's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I just want to, you know, see, test whatever he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And so they go to like dinner or they go out. And of course, it's nighttime. And he has this kind of what sitting on the coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after they leave, you start seeing the planchette move.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh boy. You knew that,
good,
that
yep.
ain't good. And then it catches fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my God.
That's
gosh.
A pretty clear sign that we got some, we got,
I'm
there's
like, yeah.
trouble in
but
paradise.
But when he brought that in, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's the
worst. Doing everything that they told you not to do.
Right. That's mm-hmm. the worst thing you can do, you goofball. Yeah. Now remind me, guys, when they come back, was it still, it burned a message or something. What was it that the Ouija board, it wasn't just catching fire and it was just on fire. It actually burned something. Like a symbol or a...
So Micah brings home the Ouija board. When the couple leaves the house, the camera records an unseen force moving the board's planchette, like mm-hmm. you said, on its surface, which then spontaneously catches fire. Katie is increasingly aggravated by Micah's flippant behavior and pleads to contact the demonologist, but he refuses. Then the couple, that's after that, they find the, because I was thinking it was part of the Ouija board, but it's the baby powder. The non-human footprints on the baby powder, Micah sprinkled in the hallway. Its path leads to a burnt photograph of a young Katie in the attic, thought to have been destroyed in the house fire that she had when she was
younger.
We
don't know, but the Ouija board burned something. It was like a message or a word or I swear there was, and I know whoever watched this movie.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember that either.
Because it just didn't catch fire. It did something. Anyway, yeah, so that was not good. And then, so now you know you're dealing with something that's mm-hmm.
And that's
negative.
When they're trying to really find that the right. demonologist, and he is gonna, out of the country. Yeah.
Right. Then they're, yeah, so then.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
She gets pulled out of bed that night. That's the night that she gets, like, pulled out of bed and, like,
dragged. Was that before or after the baby powder?
As after the baby powder.
Okay, so the baby powder, he comes up with the idea to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, again, what are you doing? But I thought it was a pretty good thing, a pretty smart move.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because he wants to see if there's any footprints or mm-hmm. anything. Yeah. Yeah, and so he kind of just does it from the bedroom all the way down the hall. I'm not sure exactly how far he took it. But then, so then again, I love the time lapse. I always like the time, because you're kind of seeing how long things, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they notice there is something in the foot. Mm-hmm. Or
those non-human prints, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I think that's kind of...
I would move out. Like, I know you can't get away from it because it's
going to
fall.
Yeah, it's
all her
fault.
It's just going to follow, yeah.
Poor girl. I think that's when he really does start because you notice his demeanor changes. He's not flipping. He's not kind of. He's not being immature.
Yeah, he's
about
starting
it.
To get.
He's starting to
the picture.
Yeah, he's starting to really get scared.
When he's still in his immature phase, he's like kind of telling her, like making her feel guilty about this too. Like he's like, well, you could have told me about this when we started dating. Oh, yeah. You know, kind of like she's like, well, what was I supposed to tell you? You know, so it's just it really does like, you know, she's victimized all the way around between him and the demon. You know.
Well, and I'm sure she tries to ignore it and forget it, and he's antagonizing it, making it worse.
Right. Yeah. So so yes, when they're sleeping, I like, and I love when the door opens or closes or whatever slowly. And you're like, oh my gosh.
And he can't get to her. She's screaming.
So so she gets dragged out of bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And taken all the way down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes after her and then he gets her back. I mean, obviously he gets her back, but it's just, I mean, she's terrified. She's in like the next day, she's curled up in a fetal position. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just like sitting on the couch.
Distraught, yeah.
They're just beside themselves. They're like, what are we going to do? Yeah, they see the picture, like you said, the picture on the wall that has the faces burned out. And it's not good, Nate. It's not good.
No, it's
and
not.
She's got a bite marker on her back, too.
Man. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does.
So and he wants to get out, but she wants to stay because she wants to figure. I mean, she can't run.
Right.
You know?
So it's kind of like
the roles flip.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now he's like, what do you. So now he's confused by her wanting to stay. So I felt so, I don't know, as we were watching it.
I'd be messed up trying to deal with this if it was me.
It was frustrating watching it because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, but then what would you do?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't.
Well, I mean, I guess you get to that point where you just have to put your foot down. It's like, you know, this has been tormenting me for my entire life.
Yeah. Surely there's more than one demonologist out there, too. You know what I mean? Like, let's find another demonologist.
Yeah.
So
there has to be a way of ending this.
Right. I had a question I was going to ask you guys. So, like, what else would, like, so as it's going on, I was trying to think, what else could you do? I mean, yeah, you can't escape it. It's not like you can go, well, we can go to a hotel for
a
week.
I think I would see, like, a priest, you know.
Yeah,
you'd
attached to you.
Yeah. So. And there's no.
And is it being more aggravated because she's in a relationship with him?
It's got to be, I bet,
it's a jealousy type thing, too, I would think.
I mean, that's part of that scene where she gets drug out and the door slams her quick, like, she's mine, kind of. You know what I mean? You can't save her, you can't help her.
So do you think that's what, maybe started when she was a kid, kind of just messing with her, but then as she got older?
Well, I think, I believe the psychic talks about that, too.
I can't remember.
That it kind of gets that, there is the attachment is
not just an attachment, but it's a intelligent,
mm-hmm.
jealous attachment, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Like it's a relationship, but in a weird, very weird way,
Right. Man, watching it was scary. So she gets taken, and then he slams the door and he gets her, and then what's the
after that? It's actually after that whole incident where she gets bit. It says on night 21 because they also tell the days.
So where are we at now?
Night 21.
So 3 weeks.
Of this, and it's been, you know, it'll tell that. That's what I think that gets even creepier too, because you feel that build in the days, and you're like, oh my gosh, this has been going on like for an eternity. That would feel like an eternity if it was
one
true.
Night would have been bad,
right? You know, so on night 21, Katie gets out of bed again. This is where she stares at Micah for 2 hours before going downstairs. Katie screams profusely for Micah, and he quickly rushes to help her. Afterward, Micah screams in pain with loud thuds. And that is just like completely, it's like, oh my gosh, what's happening? After a moment of silence, Micah's body is violently hurled at the camera, which is knocked off the tripod, revealing Katie standing in the doorway with blood on her shirt. And that is like, I mean, you know, she has zero control. She's been taken over. She crawls to Micah's body, then looks up at the camera with a grin.
Oh, I know.
That is I'm getting chills right now just thinking about that. That to me was where it's like, oh my gosh, we have gotten to what, this is the point where you didn't want to see it. You're like, please don't let it get to that point. Please don't let it get to that point. You need to get help, you know, and you just feel that like you want to help him, but this is like, okay, we've hit that past the point of no return. So she looks up at the camera with a grin. As she lunges toward the camera, her face takes on a demonic snarl and the scene cuts to black. The epilogue text states Micah's body is discovered by the police and Katie is missing, which is even like, oh,
I
my
know.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I did not expect that.
Going on to the next victim.
I thought either they're both going to get it or they're finally going to get rid of it or they tried. I did not expect that. And mm-hmm. so when that happened, mm-hmm. that whole ending, and I was like, oh, no.
Well, you're always expecting like, no. the happy ending.
It didn't have one.
No, it's not.
And it yeah.
some sequels, right?
Yeah. Her face. You knew it wasn't her. It's the possession. The demon.
Did you see the alternate ending too? I mean, these.
There's.
I had never seen it before. Had you seen it before?
No,
I
went and watched it. The alternate ending is so. Once Paramount acquired the film, the original ending was shown at only one public viewing before being scrapped. So that they've got that one here too. Two new endings were developed: one theatrically released above, and the other available as an alternate ending on the home release. So the original scrapped ending: Katie returns to the bedroom alone, covered in blood, and holding a large kitchen knife. She sits on the floor against the bed and rocks back and forth. The next day, Katie's friend Amber leaves a concern message at 2 p.m. And so you're seeing all that elapsed film too, I remember. Visits the house at 9 p.m., discovers Micah's body downstairs, and runs away in panic. 30 minutes later, two policemen enter the house and reach the bedroom where they find the possessed Katie with a knife. Seeing them, Katie suddenly returns to her normal state and asks about Micah. After the attic door slams by itself, one of the officers panics and shoots and kills her. The camera fades to black, and the police officers continue searching the house for the source of the sound. An epilogue text appears dedicating the film to the memory of Micah and Katie. And I think they said there's a camera in there, you know, like it's just this really weird because you feel, I mean, you're the voyeur, you know, as you're watching it, which is so weird. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, you feel kind of dirty, almost like you're like, you've been part of this whole thing. Yeah. You're like, I could have helped him and I didn't, you know, but it's so creepy. You know,
I didn't want to help him. No,
I know you kind of want to see, but you don't. There's that new alternate ending was so after she killed Mike off screen, Katie comes back upstairs alone, like in the original ending. She closes and locks the bedroom door, approaches the camera, and I'm kind of glad they didn't do this one because it's really nasty. Approaches the camera and promptly slits her own throat before collapsing dead. The scene then fades to black. That would be kind of like
there's the gory factor.
That was one I'm glad they didn't go with.
So I give it an 8 out of 10, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say 7.5. 7.5, 8 maybe.
Yeah. You know, I'd give it probably a 7, but I'm going to go up a notch to an 8 because I liked how they built it up.
Yeah.
You know? Now, like I said, Amy thought it was a little bit slow, but I think they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's how a real possession or paranormal activity would happen. I don't think it's just full-blown right off the bat. It's going to build and depress, you know, kind of beat you down mentally and physically, and you can't sleep, and then it starts really kicking in. So very well done, though.
Wears you out.
If it was released today, I don't think it would do as well. I think this is definitely, like, perfect for the time that it came out. It obviously scared a lot of test audiences and audiences that saw it in the...
You don't think it'd be... well received
I think
today?
It need to be done a little bit I think it need to be done a little bit differently so I don't
need
know
to be, that, like build up not the build up is that what you're saying
I don't know
no,
I
I'm just curious
I think
just,
that I mean, it I think it worked and maybe I'm wrong but I think it worked in that time era better I don't know that it would work as well in 2023 I could be wrong I don't know
let's, I was just wondering why you
let's try that. It let's blank everybody's memory and try and release it but I think that it was I think it's kind of frozen as because and I'm saying that from like Harrison's perspective when he's watching he's like oh dad so hokey oh you can tell us from the 2000s I'm like you were born in the 2000s it's not like that was like in the Stone Age but he just felt like it was very dated so it's like they maybe if they you know brought it into the modern era quote unquote and did that maybe they would be able to be successful but
so let me ask you this so like what do you think Nate on that that's a good I mean that's a good point to bring up like would it do well in 16 years later like if it was made today
I think it would it might not have been as successful but I think it would have done all right
yeah
It would have caught enough attention, I think.
Maybe they need to start the series over.
Because I see your point, and you're looking your son, who I mean he's 16.
Well, there's so much stuff that you know. Because the modern kids are so desensitized to a lot of things.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I told you, I think I've said it on here. My kids, you know, when Amy and I watched the 2017, mm-hmm. you know, and we were at the movie theater. I mean, she about squeezed my arm off, and we don't get scared about it, but it's scary. You know, it's a great, man, the special effects and Pennywise and all this. I'm like, whoa, what an intense. We built talk about for 2 or 3, 4 years, you know, kids, I want to see, you know, Elijah was infatuated with Pennywise and he was six or seven. I'm like, dude, I was older when I saw Exorcist and all those movies and I couldn't sleep for weeks. And then we finally let him watch it. He and Olivia's laughing. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Desensitizes, right.
Oh, that's not scary. Yeah. And then the second one, chapter two, when they're adults, that's even worse. I'm like, are you insane? What's wrong with you guys? I'm like, I don't know if I should be like, I was kind of disappointed.
You should be concerned.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes, and I know I see this in Harrison, is that there's this like toughness, like, oh yeah, I didn't get scared, so I'm tough, you know, and I think they see that in some of these. But there are some things he watches, like, and it's just, I know it's terrifying, like The Terrifier, or, you know, those kind of things.
Follow me here, but maybe, that's just my assumption of generations, we're able to tap into our imagination a little bit more, whereas
it's given to them, like on a silver platter. Yeah.
There's no use. I mean, not there's no use for imagination, but there's so much stuff
it's created
out
for
there
them.
That you don't have to really use your imagination,
right?
Mm-hmm. Nowadays,
that's a good point.
That is a great point.
So it's when you watch a movie like this, you put yourself in that situation. Yeah. You use your imagination. What would I do? What, you know? Whereas newer generations go, it's just a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I call that imagination atrophy. And I think that's what allows us to be kids. So it is interesting. I don't know what it'd be like to grow up as a kid in this era, but that's a good point. And I think it's to your detriment too, but it's a part of being desensitized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, these games and, yeah, you're right. I think that
we need to boycott.
Well, and that's one thing too.
We got to boycott this technology.
Yeah, good luck.
The realness of video games nowadays. I mean, I bet that plays a part of it too. I mean, you're playing these horror style video games that are high graphic.
Yeah,
They look real.
And they look real, so it's like, you know,
Diablo.
I do that every Saturday night playing online with my buddies. You know, this movie
I killed 72 demons.
This movie's not shocking.
Yeah, right. That's fair.
Well, you know, and I was creeped out by it just because, I mean, I was middle-aged and creeped out watching this movie. But, like, I'm looking at it going, my gosh, what if that was Amy and I, you know, we're starting our lives together. And so I'm wrapped up in it, like, I'm thinking, as an
invested.
Adult. Yeah, and I guarantee if Elijah watched it, he'd be like, it took forever to get going. Or I'm like, you know, it's that it wasn't, again, even when they ramped it up, it wasn't just all these crazy things. It was just, it was so terrifying because it was realistic.
Yeah.
But he would probably want more action or more of, to see the whatever it is.
That's what Harrison said. It was kind of
like,
boring,
no, that's
is what he thought.
Not saying it's scarier.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what the heck are
it's
they
a difference of generations.
And I guarantee, now see, but what's funny is, like Olivia, when she saw, she's going to be 16, but like she was 13 or 14 when she watched The Shining and Elijah, it's her favorite movie. She's like, that holds up. And that's 1980.
That's a good point.
So that's weird.
That's like, interesting.
And that's a slow build up. I mean, it's not like right off the bat, he's crazy and you see, okay, really what's going on. It took forever to kind of get going, but she's like, that's her favorite horror movie.
Well, it's like,
it's weird. It's really weird.
Parker got one of those VR headsets.
Oh yeah.
For Christmas, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
I don't think it was this year, but probably the year before. And so there's some games that you can get for it where they're horror.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was intrigued by that and being in the VR realm. So I bought one. I said, hey, bud, let me see it. I'll buy this game. I'm interested in seeing what it's all about. And it's not terribly hard. I mean, you just sort of walk through the hallways of this haunted mansion type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was cussing and screaming and
scared the crap out of you.
Yeah,
right?
And hooping and hollering. Because, you know, I poke my head around a corner and then this little baby doll sticks its head out around the corner too. And you're like,
you're still not expecting
it. Yeah, you're like, jeez. Or, you know, like a chair falls over and then you hear footsteps behind you. And, you know, it's to me, you know, realistic.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done anything like that. I want to.
Yeah, it's
sometime.
Pretty wild. And then, you know, Parker or Dane will do it, and they're like, you know, laughing at stuff. I'm like,
what is wrong?
This is scary.
I've done it.
I mean, just put your. It comes to that whole imagination thing. They look at it as, oh, it's just a game. Whereas I put the headset on there, and
it feels real.
I put myself in that realm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, those Oculus. I've done that. Yeah, haunted house feeling. It scares you. And also, that it's a haunted roller coaster, and it kind of scares. But the kids are getting mad at me because I would be like looking at everything else. I wanted to see the detail. And they're like, Dad, look down. You're missing the scares, basically.
Well, they're laughing at me because.
Oh, what's behind me anyway? You know, and I'm an old man,
down the hallways and trying to look at stuff in front of me. I'm like, what's happening behind me, though?
So I'm
jumping back and
they're like, don't
looking.
Do that, Dad. Don't do that. You're ruining it.
They're,
like,
they're just sitting there laughing
what?
At me.
Yeah, because I want to look down my feet. I want to look up. I just want to see how realistic it is. Yeah, so it's cool. But yeah, I get a little motion sickness, too, which they don't seem to get.
No,
you know,
it doesn't bug me in that way.
Yeah, a little bit. I got a little bit.
I think it would be successful in 2023. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're saying, though, because I wouldn't say like it looks completely 2000s, but I mean, just because I think it would hold up. But I think kids don't like the buildup.
Yeah.
They want right off the bat action.
Yeah.
Or they Instant. Right off the bat. It's got to be whether it's an action movie, a scary movie, whatever it is they want. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not realistic. And so I want to real quick.
Oh, you're fine.
Coming off of that, this story this guy writes talks about the 2007 movie, Paranormal Activity. He says, real ghosts aside, the film is realistic in some ways. He says, the film's tagline, what happens when you sleep, is especially appropriate. Ghosts, abducting aliens, and other mysterious entities are often experienced at home at night and in bed, not during your lunch hour while buying cat food and ground beef at the supermarket.
That's fair.
He said, there's a psychological reason why these experiences often happen at night. We are more likely to be tired, drowsy, and sleeping. Medications and even simple fatigue can create mild hallucinations, what psychologists call waking dreams, and hypnagogic experiences. They are harmless and common, especially as we drift to sleep, but can impair our perceptions and create experiences that never happened. He says, for example, during one haunted house investigation I conducted in Buffalo, a man told me that a ghost had kicked his bed as he fell asleep. He had no other explanation and firmly believed he had been attacked by a ghost. My investigation revealed that the kicking he experienced was actually his leg twitching as his body entered the first stages of sleep. He was completely unaware of this, and when awoken by his leg spasm, he interpreted the jerk as a ghost kicking his bed. But that makes, so this movie, primarily 90% of it did happen when they were sleeping, and you're more vulnerable, you're asleep, you're not aware, you're not awake. You could be and if you're sick or you're on medication or you're just dog tired, you're gonna perceive things different. Or say if it's a real ghost or a demon or whatever the entity is, it's gonna take advantage of you because more at nighttime
you're vulnerable.
So I like because you're not aware, you're not, and so it can do remember real quick this the scene Amy and I asked when we were like, oh boy. You start seeing the bed covers or sheets moving, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's getting in bed with them. It's like, oh my gosh,
that's sacred space too between a couple.
I've got goosebumps thinking about that because that would, it wouldn't be good.
Well, and I also go back. We'll go back to one more point about like from Micah's perspective. You know, it's easy to say in this movie, like, dude, you know, we got all the bits and pieces of it. We know what's where this is going. If it were you, and you were talking about like if it was you and Amy or Jen and I or you and Rachel, like how would you behave? You might be a little bit immature about it too. Like, oh, sure, there's a, you know, poltergeist. Or, oh, sure, there's a ghost here. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
I can see, you can almost see, you know, even though it's easy to make him into the villain, you probably feel similar to how he is, you know, not, you know, if it was real life, you know, you'd, and a lot of that is coping mechanisms because you don't want it to be real, you know, like, you know, or to act tough, you know, and then when it's, you know, the proverbial, you know, what hits the fan, it's like, oh man, I'm out, you know, this, I'm done.
It's like when people talk and they're not comfortable, they laugh. It's their coping, like just trying to deal with talking in front of people or being interviewed or that nervous, you know, whatever you know, with their hands or something. Mm-hmm. Well, same thing. They'd be like, ah, because you're one to talk yourself out of it actually being true. Is there something in our house that's demonic or whatever? Mm-hmm. So I get it. I think he was, I mean, I'm just, yeah, he'd be annoying because he is immature, but it's like, I think you're right. I think you're onto something where he's kind of just like, I can't take this serious because if I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what if this really is true?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, but then when it reveals itself that it is, then
to his credit.
Because then you notice how he changes. Like, crap, I better stop jacking around, being silly. I got to stop it or prevent
really
it. I got to protect us, you know, especially her. So, but yeah, because at first I just don't think he, even if he kind of believes it, he's just trying to joke it away.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing's not joking back.
No.
You know.
It's having none of that, right?
It is having none of it. No. Man, it is. Yeah, it's a really good movie. And I do. I want to see the second and see what that. Mm-hmm. I
see where they drop off at.
Yeah, because I don't know if it plays off the first one. Because I think that I looked
at
it.
Have you seen the other? I've not seen the other one, I don't know either.
The cast says the same. It says Micah and, well, I can't remember the girl's name. What was her name? The character? That is
Katie.
Thank you. I think they're in the second and third one, but I don't know what.
Oh, okay.
Where it goes with the
story. Well, I know right, one of them.
I mean, he's
a prequel.
Dead. I mean, yeah.
I think that goes into the third one.
Yeah.
As I
we need to watch this. We need to have a Paranormal Activity.
What are we doing tonight?
Night.
Yeah. No, I think I enjoyed the first one, and then I guess the other ones came out, and I didn't want to get disappointed that there is going to get hokey, so I never watched them.
I kind of watch, like, if I really enjoy, like, this one, I'm going to watch the second one. And then the very first, like, if the second one's hokey, I'm done.
Yeah.
But if the second one's like, ooh, that's really good, I'll give the third one a shot.
Yeah.
Then I'll stop whatever, which one's hokey, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll go for the second one.
I would, especially as good as that one is, you know.
Yeah. I thought, like I said, I liked how they did where you're, you know, he's setting up the camera. So it makes it look like you are, like a voyeur. You're watching what's happening.
You get the full effect of that. It does take you on that full journey, too. And like I said, by the end, you're just like, ugh, I was witness to just an atrocity, you know, like truly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's funny, but I like how they you know, the first couple of nights, nothing did happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my anticipation.
And there
was
a lot
there.
Of humor.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm,
you're
and
watching
I'm
everything.
That. I'm watching everything. I'm looking at the door. I'm looking at the cover or the bed. I'm looking at the floor. It's dark.
Like I said, I wanted to see the Bellwitch come
out
the door. You
I'm
know,
watching
like
the time. Yeah, the time lapse. Uh-huh. I'm like, man, how long? You know, then all of a sudden it's daylight. It's morning.
They're
like,
yeah,
it's
fine.
Nothing happened. But for that couple minutes that they had you still, nothing happened, but they still had that build up like, ooh, what could be, you know, what's going to happen? But so I like it. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, when you chose that movie, I'm like, ooh, I've never seen it. Okay, mm-hmm. I better watch it for strictly for podcast purposes.
Like I said, I remember that the audience reactions, and that's what sticks in my head as it being same thing with, like I said, it goes back to Blair Witch. I know we keep drawing that similarity, but same thing where that had that hook that people believed it, you know?
Yeah.
And so the fact that this, I mean, people didn't go into it, it's like, oh my gosh, this really happened, but it's just the fact that it could happen and that it does draw you in and it really gets you, feeling this, the feelings that you would feel if you were a part of this couple. And it's disturbing to say the least.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you guys, real quick, I do have one more thing, but do you guys have anything else to add about the movie or what you think, you know?
No, but I agree that seeing some of the other movies is definitely worth it.
Yeah, like I said, I'll go with them until whatever one's hokey, and then I'm like, nope, I'm out.
I'm out.
That same guy, he writes for NBC News, he writes this, which is pretty interesting. He says, while these things can seem mysterious, there may perfectly be rational explanations. Breezes can slam doors, vibrations or soft drywall can send hung pictures crashing to the floor, electrical problems can turn lights on and off, and so on. He said, my editor presently has a vexing problem with a newly installed complexly wired fan light in his home office that turns off mysteriously, but can be turned back on in an otherwise ghost-free home. He says hoaxing is also a problem. Many instances of paranormal activity have been traced to pranking children or troubled teenagers seeking attention.
Yeah,
so it kind of made me think that little write-up makes me think of, you know, the Enfield Poltergeist, you know, mm-hmm. where
the kids played it up a little bit more.
Yeah, right. Even back, mm-hmm. you know, so I wonder if this movie spawned that too. Like, you know, kids seeing, like I said, I saw it, I'm 52 just now, about like maybe 20 years ago, and the kids were, got some ideas. I don't know, you know, or just, or even married couples or mm-hmm. couple, you know, messing with each other, you know.
Yeah.
Just playing off the movie.
God, you know? That'd be awful though. Like if you really, you were playing trick, you know, like.
Well, I've been seeing, and it gives me chills, but yeah. like on a TikTok, people have been hiding underneath the bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Waiting for people, you know, their significant other or somebody to come in there, and they grab their foot and they freak out.
Because it is scary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd be screaming like a little girl.
I've gotten her so many times. Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, and I've done that before. I've grabbed her. Yeah. I've been, mm-hmm. like, she goes upstairs. I'm already up there, and I'm behind against the wall. I mean, I'll reach out and grab her ankle. She about craps. My boss, Bob Nicewander, he's the one that hired me at the church.
Mm-hmm.
He would do that. So if he'd get there real early, and so he'd see that you parked. And so he would hide on the other side of the door, the entry door into the church, squat down. You'd walk through, man, grab your calf or your ankle. And this is at 7 in the morning. I mean, you're not even thinking about, my gosh, I would go, I would scream. Like, boom, go straight up through the roof. Oh, my gosh, he just loved that, yeah. Or
he's just giving you a religious experience.
He would do that, or he would just stand, you know, and go, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I mean,
either way,
Bob,
it scares
I'm like,
you,
Bob, daggone it. Or in the pews, vacuuming the pews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're vacuuming the pews. And so he would be two or three rows back because he, you know, and then he just wait. He just wait a few minutes until he would reach underneath and grab, same thing, grab your ankle. I mean, just send you through the roof. It was like, dang it, Bob.
Is Bob a creeper?
Huh?
A creepy?
Does he need? He to? Would be. Yeah. By the way, he passed.
There's a difference between a creeper and a creepy.
Yeah. Shout out to him. He was the one that hired me and gave me another chance. And with my dad passed, he was like my, you know, a dad, you know, adopted dad and uncle. And he passed away 2 or 3, 4 years ago of cancer. Oh. And so his wife just celebrated her birthday.
He's a creepy on the other side then, right?
I love that guy. I'm going to see him again someday. But yeah. I'm like, I miss him. But anyway, just talking about him, he do that stuff. It's like daily. I mean, daily. You are not safe. Just, hey, how you doing? Or grab you. So shout out to Bob Nicewander. Great guy. Great guy. So that's all I got. You guys don't have anything else?
Use guys?
Use guys.
I like how
I
went mafia
else?
Really quick.
Yeah. Did I say use guys?
Use guys. I don't know. Mate. That's what I heard.
That's what he heard.
That's it. Yeah. I turned it Godfather.
I probably did. Who knows? yeah. So hope you enjoyed that. That was fun talking about it.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was a good movie and just fun talking about the paranormal.
I like movie reviews. They're fun.
So let me guess. I'm going to say a middle-aged dark side.
It's not.
Oh,
I thought about that since this is a dark topic, but I thought, man, we're going to have to do a little balancing act here. And actually, there's a reason for this. You're going to appreciate this. So let me lay this all out. So this is going to be a middle-aged moment. It's actually going to be a dedication for someone who passed. I work with a guy named Matt. He's a coworker of mine. He's a friend of mine. He is a creepy. He does listen to us. He is a really great guy. He's a really great therapist, PTA, that has worked at Hendricks for 15 years. His grandfather, who is up in the Fort Wayne area, actually Decatur, which is where Matt's from, his grandfather, who's 95 years old, passed away yesterday.
Oh,
his
wow.
His name is Andrew, by the way. 95. And I told him today, I said, you know, I was thinking about using a particular song and I'd like to dedicate it to your grandfather. It's funny. There's a couple side stories and I think you guys will appreciate this. So Matt, he knew that he was going to pass. And it was coming. But he said it's time. You know, he's 95. He's getting older. It's sure. time for him to go and he's ready. And so Matt came up to me yesterday morning and I was coming to the office. He was coming another way and he said, hey, Sean, I just want you to know he did pass. And so I just instinctively he's taller than I am. And I wrapped my arms around him and he said, it's okay, Sean. It's all right. And I said, I know, but it's still sad. So let me give you a hug. So I gave him a hug and I said, I'm really sorry. And I know what that feels like, you know, and he's like, thanks. I appreciate that.
Mm.
So he went on and he saw Jenna later in the day and I got a text from Jenna and she said, I saw Matt and he said, you're a really good hugger. but she didn't really know why. And so I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to explain it to Jenna. I said, you know, some people do morning rounds. Some people do morning huddles. I do morning hugs with my team. No. And so I said, well, his grandfather passed away. Okay. So I gave him a big hug. And she's like, oh, that was sweet of you, you know. And so then last night I told him I was thinking about him. And well, I was thinking about him. I was talking to the littles. So I was talking to Ella and William, and I said, "Hey, can we? My coworker lost his grandfather, and he's 95. And can we just send pray? Let's pray for him together before they were going to bed." And so we did. We prayed, and we sent some good vibes his way. And Ella said something that kind of got me. Made me step back a second. She said, "All she's like your grandfather, my grandfather, and his grandfather will all be together in heaven." And so my grandfather Layman, her grandfather, who's my dad, and I thought that's a really sweet thing. The joy that she said that with was what got me and kind of brought tears to my eyes. I was like, thank you, Ella. So I texted that to Matt and I said, hey, you were on my mind. I was telling the kids, you know, to pray for you and your family and your grandfather. And I said, this is what Ella said. And he goes, now you got me teary-eyed. So the next morning, he's like, this morning, he said, hey, I really appreciate that. That was really, really sweet. So he and I were working together today. And I said, do you mind if I, you know, use your grandfather, dedicate the song? And I said, I was actually on my mind. It was something, this was my, to bring something personal in. The 22nd of the, you know, which was what yesterday, it was 6 months since my collapse, the syncopal collapse in my episode. Oh, and so that was on my mind, but in a good way, not in a, oh my gosh, it's been 6 months. What am I going to do? It was, hey, time to start living or start dying, get busy living or get busy dying, right? Shawshank Redemption. And so I was thinking about using this anyway, but so this all just worked out very well. So you're going to appreciate it is Beatles. But it is in my life.
I got to go to the bathroom.
So you got to go to the bathroom. So this is Lennon McCartney. So I know there are. So that was a big buildup to say, hey, can I use Beatles?
That was a heck of a.
I know. Jerry Pauly out there. A little
backstory.
All right. So there are places I'll remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments with lovers and friends I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living. In my life, I've loved them all. But of all these friends and lovers, I'm getting chills, by the way, there is no one who compares with you. And these memories lose their meaning when I think of love as something new. Though I know I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before, I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I love you more. Though I know I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before, I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I love you more. So this is dedicated to Andrew, 95 years young. He had a long, good life. And shout out to Matt. So this is my late shout out. So shout out to Matt and his family. Thoughts, prayers.
Absolutely.
Good vibrations. That's the Beach Boys, though.
95. Man.
So, yeah. So, and I told him, I said, you know, for... I don't take it lightly because he will be in our podcast, you know, honorarily forever. So he's solidified. I think that's really cool.
I like it.
Every time we do a shout out, when we do any kind of dedications like this or bring up stories, you know, that it's you know, there's time stamped and we're these people live on, you know, in our memory of our podcast. And I think that's really cool.
I'm not sure if they're excited about it. But
they
hey,
may not be. Yeah, he's like, how dare you guys?
No, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to hear the passing, but yeah. Man, 95 is a long time.
That's right.
A lot of people don't live that long. I'd even have 43 more years. I don't know if I want to live that. Like, one of them make it like, 55.
Does that sound daunting? Yeah.
Good grief. A little daunting, like, oh, man, good for him. Especially in this day and age. So, no, that was great. Yeah. What was the guy that listens? First of all,
Matt.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Matt, for listening and being creepy. So
absolutely,
yeah.
You guys are
condolences
Matt,
to your family.
Just so you know, yeah.
So yeah, great, good job on that. Except the Beatles song. That's all right. just kidding.
Minus the Beatles, right? Understand.
You got the second announcements?
I do. As a matter of fact, you can follow us on social, our social media accounts: Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok.
I'm going to say it.
Say it.
So. That lasted a week. I had a second, I don't know, just another.
Reflect.
Yeah.
Change of heart, that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. I thought,
you
know
old
what?
Softy.
I know. I was like, you know what? So what if we lose 3 or 4 followers a week? I wouldn't say it like that, but it doesn't matter because it's not that hard, big a deal to post something. And it was never established to overtake. I mean, if it did, great. But like Facebook and Instagram have been solid. So, and Twitter, we've got good following on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to take TikTok as it is. So whatever it offers us, we do get some likes and we get some follows here and there. And then you never know, because if just one person's like, "Oh, this is cool. What this?
You never
what is
know,
this?"
Right?
And then,
that's,
you know,
that's
what?
A good point.
I'll check it out. And if they become a listener, and if it's just one out of every few weeks, well, we got a listener. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to quit on it. I don't want to be just because it's like we don't have 1,000 followers to do or what. You know, who cares? It's been better. Actually, if I'm honest, it's been better than what I, you know, thought. A lot better than what my daughter thought. She's like, "You're doing what? Why are you doing
she
that?"
She tried to shoot us down on arrival, right?
Yeah, pretty much when I just see the day of. So anyway, we're back on TikTok.
You're soft on TikTok is the bottom line.
I love TikTok watching it, but I'm just like, right. Yeah. So we'll keep posting on there.
I'm going to say we're TikTokers again.
No, you're not. No.
Don't say a shot.
No. So anyway, give it another shot. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll just take for whatever it gives us, you know.
Shall I continue?
Yeah.
Okay. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to get by that, right? Two A's on that, Mako. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and leave a review if the app allows. And tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of cool merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned and or your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
And we are still looking for sponsors for our on locations and our live show. So you want to help out the show, and we'll mention you during the live show. And
McDonald's, are you listening?
Well, that's right.
Disneyland, yeah. Disney World.
Yeah,
Disney.
I don't know if I really want them, but
yeah, that's fair.
Sorry,
I was thinking of something. Google. No.
So anyway, yeah. I mean, if you want to help, yeah, or it will take even just a normal segment, you know, sponsorship. So you know, no big deal if you don't, whatever. So anyway, thank you for that, Sean.
You're most welcome,
Mr. Nate.
Yeah.
What do you have for us, brother?
I think we're done with activities tonight. That is a wrap.
The activities director has spoken.
Are we done, though? Are we done? No, we're not done.
We got a mini.
That's right. I know what you're saying.
I'm mini excited.
Oh, stop that. Mini excited? That's all you are?
That's all. I guess that's all mini. I got left.
Sounds like when I found out he was here. When I pulled up and I see the four viewers, I'm like, that's mini excited that mini Sean's excited. Back in the studio. I'm
super excited.
Thank you, Nate, for that. Yeah. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 129 and our discussion on the creepy movie Paranormal Activity. So until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.